Okay, good evening, everybody. A lot of very interesting stuff to cover tonight. So we're going to try to hit, I don't know if we'll make it to all the things that I'd like to get to, but I think they're very, very interesting subjects tonight. We're going to discuss homosexuality in halacha, transgender in halacha, and a lot of very, very interesting shailas have come up in regards to transgender, particularly more so than homosexuality, in terms of medical procedures and all sorts of very interesting shailas. I hope we get to plastic surgery, and if we have time, we'll get to smoking. Otherwise, I'll hand out a couple of chubas from Moshe, and you're welcome to do them on your own. So I want to start off talking about homosexuality. Now, homosexuality is a very emotional subject for many. And we can never allow ourselves to be, fixated on what modern society mores, views, and ethics are. And we always have to remain firmly based in Torah, Torah values, and all sorts of Torah ideas and hashkafos that will sometimes be not, quote, politically correct or seem to be at odds with the way the world views certain subjects. And we have absolutely nothing to be embarrassed about with our Torah HaKidosha, and we should be very proud, and we should know that our values are divine and that our values are eternal, as opposed to the values in secular society will really twist and be 100% opposite of what they were 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and they come full circle all the time. So therefore, we should, number one, know what the Torah's position is on these subjects, and that we should also always remember that the Torah tells us to be extremely compassionate. I always like to say over the famous Vort that Beruria told her husband, Rav Meir. And Rav Meir says in the Gemara in Brachos that there were some people starting up with Rav Meir, and he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that those people should die because they were really giving him a very hard time. And his wife Beruria told him that's wrong. What does the Pasuk say? Yitamu chatoyim min ha'aretz. The Pasuk doesn't say Yitamu chotim min ha'aretz. That's an extremely important idea. Beruria told Rav Meir. Beruria was a fascinating Tamida Chachama herself. A very tragic story, which we won't go into now. The death of Beruria and what led to her death. But she was a great Tamida Chachama. And Ben Yoyada says she was like a Tana in terms of her knowledge and wisdom. And she bested Rav Meir. Rav Meir is the Tana that the Gemara in Erevin tells us bested all the other Tanoim. We don't possibly like Rav Meir because he was too smart. He could always argue both sides of every single situation. If you look in the Gemara in Erevin, I think it's Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, so the Gemara brings down the klolos, some of the rules of Psak Halacha. It's also later in the Masechta as well, in the Nun someplace. And it tells us that we almost never paskin against the Tana that argues Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda argues Rav Meir, we paskin like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yossi Rav Meir, we paskin like Rav Yossi. But the Gemara says not because Rav Meir wasn't necessarily smarter than them, and we always follow Rav Meir when it comes to his takanos or gzeros, because for sakana purposes, we never play any games with Rav Meir. If Rav Meir says something's dangerous, we don't play games because we don't understand him. Doesn't mean that we play games. So a person has to be very, very careful with Rav Meir's dinam. Yet Beruria was able to best her husband Rav Meir in the following scenario, when Rav Meir said, "Let's wipe out these people that are bad," and Beruria told him, "We should wipe out their sins, but we shouldn't look to wipe out people." So this is a very important idea as an introduction to our discussion tonight about homosexuality and therefore homosexuals, and about people with what we have, what today is known as gender dysphoria, which is people who feel that they're in the body of a man even though they're physically a woman, that they would feel that they're a man even though they're in the body of a woman, or vice versa, and these transgender individuals. So we have to have tremendous rahmanis on the individuals while at the same time understanding the Torah's position on the various ideas that they would like to propagate or bring forward, and that's a very important part of the discussion. So we'll start off with homosexuality. So I don't think I need to tell anybody the Torah's position here on homosexuality. It's Psukim from Achrimos and Kedoshim. Pasuk says, "Ve'ezocha lo sishka mishke ve'isha toivahi in achrimos," and the pasuk in Kedoshim Perachov, "Ve'isha sheyishka ve'ezocha mishke ve'isha toiva asush nehem mos yumasu demeim ba." The Torah absolutely forbids homosexual relations. It is a toeva, it's an abomination, and it's a chi of misa if you have the appropriate warning and you have the appropriate hasra, the appropriate beis din in the time of Sanhedrin. It is a capital crime. Anybody who says otherwise is just incorrect, no matter what they have the word rabbi in front of their name, whether they argue incorrectly that that's not what the Torah means, if they say that the Torah is talking about only if it's in a promiscuous fashion, but not in a stable, monogamous relationship, that's all sheker. That's all absolutely not what the Torah says. What I just read to you is beferish from the psukim, les man de polig. There's nobody that argues that the individual who commits such an act is doing what the Torah calls toeva and is doing a capital crime. That's not politically correct to say. That is what the halacha is. That is the Torah's perspective. It is very politically correct according to the Torah. It's not politically correct according to secular society. And at the same time, let's keep in mind what Beruya said. We're not against individuals who HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for reasons that we do not understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created somebody with the proclivity, with the desire, with the inclination to go and want to have homosexual relations. And I will talk about that when we talk to transgender, some hashkafa, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu might have created such things, a fascinating discussion, more in regards to transgender. Well, it applies the same idea in regards to a person who has a proclivity for homosexual relationships. Yeah, you had a question?
So what's the Torah's view on, is it a choice or is it born of it? So
we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. Now, there are differences between a male having a relationship with a male and a female having a relationship with a female in terms of the severity of the isser. Both are prohibited. But the relationship of a male having relations with another man is a capital crime. A woman having relations with another woman or having some sort of physical contact with another woman is not a capital crime. That's a issa that's known as a lesbian relationship is a lav, but it's not a capital crime. So there are technical differences between homosexuality when it's man with man versus woman with woman. Both are prohibited and are forbidden. That is the absolute din. Everybody needs to be reminded of that sometimes because unfortunately you read from various so-called orthodox sources and certainly from Jewish non-traditional, non-halachic sources that this isser is not an isser and that it is barbaric or ancient or, you know, anachronistic to believe in this isser. We do not hold that way. It's critical that everybody be aware of that, and you shouldn't be embarrassed if somebody questions you about that. This is what the Torah says. Now, does this translate to the way that we're supposed to relate to other people? So the Torah has a number of interesting scenarios where we have stories over here in the Torah of homosexuality and what the Torah actually says about it. So the most famous one is the Mabul. There is a famous Medrash over here. If you want the address, the Medrash is found in Medrash Rabbah Vayikra in Parsha Chav Gimel Siv Tes. It's also found in the Brachos Rabbah Chav Vav Hey. And this is what it says over there. Dor HaMabul Nimchu min ha'olam ayidei sheyushtufin biznus. The reason why the Mabul came about, the destruction of the world came about, the Mabul, was because of sexual impropriety, sexual promiscuity. And Amar Rabbi Yishlomloi, kol makom she'ata motzei znus, anjulamasya bol yolam. Whenever you have sexual improprieties, so that's a terrible thing for the world, and that causes terrible things in the world, which v'horeges tovim v'roy. It can, when you have this anjulamusya let loose in the world, this HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives power that there'll be disaster in the world, so then it can affect both good and bad people. It doesn't discriminate. And the opinion over here is Rav Huna b'shem Rav Yossi. He says, furthermore, Dor HaMabul lo nimchu, the reason why the Mabul generation was destroyed, they were taken out of this world, shekasu gumsios lezochel in a keva, because they wrote certain types of marriage contracts over here between men and men and women and women. So this was the terrible tragedy over here that happened. So there are different gersos over here. There are different ways that this is translated. But this is essentially not a very positive thing. And therefore, the sanctioning, according to many, of relationships. When you write a ksuba between a man and a man, that goes well beyond just saying that there's an isser between a man and a man. That goes in trying to legalize it. That is a problem. So this is an early, early source. The Dor HaMabos in Noach, in early on in the Torah. You have similar ideas with Shem, Chom, and Yofes when after they came out. So it says that there was, unfortunately, with Chom, there was a terrible tragedy. So one of the opinions is that he committed an act of homosexuality with his father. And that's why Chom is cursed. Or Kinan. So again, the Torah is telling us here how serious this prohibition is. You have by Lot. The Malachim came over here and saved Lot, but the people wanted Lot to give out the people that came to his house. They didn't know they're Malachim. And it uses a lashon there. Rashi tells us they wanted to commit an act of homosexuality with the Malachim. And Lot was willing to say, take my daughter, rather than do this terrible act of homosexuality. And you have a very similar idea in a number of other places as well, where the act of homosexuality is so severe that they would prefer to do an act that wasn't an immoral act of homosexuality, do a lesser immoral act. And this is also the sin of the Pilegish Begiva. They wanted to commit an act of homosexuality. He said, no, better to do an act of a, quote, normal sexual act, which is halachically not sanctioned, than to do this abnormal act. And you find the same thing in the slichos that we say, the kinnas. It tells us that the children that were on the boat, so the girls asked the boys, should we throw ourselves off the boat and commit suicide rather than be taken in to be sex slaves, Rahmana Litzlan? And yeah, they said, yeah. And then they took a kal v'chomer to themselves. If the girls are not allowing themselves to commit an act that is a, quote, normal act, that's for zanus in immoral purposes, how much more so, Allah has kama v'kama, should we not allow ourselves to be used for an act of homosexuality? So this is just a quick sprinkling of stories from across Tanakh and across our liturgy that show us the severity that this issur of homosexuality is viewed in. However, again, I stress that we have to treat people with compassion. I want to read with you a Chofetz Chaim over here that, if you have not seen this Chofetz Chaim, it's something that's kedai to remind yourself in all matters. And it's not too far into the Chofetz Chaim. It's in the very first siman in all of Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, in Sif Aleph, Siman Aleph, Sif Aleph. And the Ramah writes over here, person gets up in the morning, what he should do, how he should act. And the Ramah says, V'lo yizbayish mipnei bnei adam. A person should never be embarrassed to act like a Jewish person, to do Jewish things, and to be embarrassed. What are other people going to say if you act like a Torah true Yid? And even if these other people, hamaligim alav b'avodas Hashem yisparach, they're making fun of you. They're ridiculing you. They're laughing at you for serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Ramah is telling us a person should never be embarrassed. Do not be afraid over here of what other people, Jews and Goyim, are going to say about you. You're barbaric. You're doing that bris mila stuff still. You're keeping kosher? Why would you keep kosher? We know how to promptly regulate food so you won't have run into health problems. We can cook pork adequately. That's the only reason the Torah said don't eat pork. So when people laugh at us and ridicule us for following the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so the Ramah is telling us, do not ever be embarrassed. And the Be'er Heitiv brings down over there, Al kol pachos lo yiskotet imohem. You're not mechuyif to get into fights with them. We don't believe in fighting with people. We do not look to fight with other people. When people ridicule us and they make fun of us, we're supposed to walk away and not necessarily fight with them under most circumstances. And listen what the Mishnah Berurah, the Holy Chofetz Chaim, says over here, Sif Katan Hei. Al kol pachos lo yiskot enimam. He quotes the Be'er Heitev, right? The Be'er Heitev was quoting the Beis Yosef. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the same Beis Yosef. Do not fight with them. They're making fun of you for keeping kosher. They're making fun of you for saying homosexuality is a toeva. Walk away. You're not mechuyev to fight with people. Shemidas ha'azus meguna. A person who fights is a disgusting character trait. To constantly be embroiled in controversy and fighting, that's not the way a Yiddish person should act. We shouldn't look for trouble. He says that's not right. And he says furthermore, the ein roi lishtamesh mimena klal. Don't use this midah of azus, of chutzpah, in any way. It's never going to help you. It's only going to harm you. Afilu biavodas Hashem Yisbarach. You're doing it l'shem shamayim. Again, I'm reading you the Mishnah Berurah. I haven't added one word. I'm not editorializing over here. I'm not saying anything that I am saying. I'm reading verbatim the Mishnah Berurah, the Holy Chafetz Chaim. You're not supposed to fight with people, even l'shem shamayim. We'll see, there's an important caveat in a second. But in general, we don't believe in fighting with people. We walk away rather than fight. And he says, even if this is an avodas Hashem, he says, ki yikne kinyan nefoshos lios az afilu shlo b'mokam v'dos yisparach. He says, we don't want to acquire such character traits. They're not good for us. So we don't want to be a guy that's embroiled in controversy, always fighting. It's not good for you. That's where he stops. He says nothing else there. You don't start fighting. However, in the Bir Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim adds these very important words. However, Avol imu omeid b'makom apikors yesh apikors. If you're here with people that aren't questioning you, but they're attacking you, and they're attacking Hashem, and they're attacking Yiddishkeit, and most importantly, these people hamiskomimim al haTorah v'rotzim lasos eze takonos b'inyonei ha'ir. If a person wishes to do a private aveira, you're not mechuyev to reprove him necessarily. And sometimes kishem shemitzvah lohochiach yesh mitzvah lo lohochiach. Just like the Gemara tells us, there's a mitzvah of hochiach tochiach. There's a mitzvah of tochocha. You have an obligation to go reprove somebody. You're doing something wrong. There's sometimes a mitzvah not to reprove somebody and not to criticize somebody. So if somebody's doing a private aveira, and you're not going to be able to influence them otherwise, you're not their Rebbe. You're not mechuyev to walk over to them, especially if they're going to be turned off from Yiddishkeit, if they're going to end up doing worse, if they're going to punch you. So you're not mechuyev. And in some situations, you're mechuyev not to go and tell them off. But not, the Chafetz Chaim says, when they're rebelling against the Torah. Rebelling against the Torah and sinning are not the same thing. All of us, unfortunately, sin. There's no person that was ever created that didn't sin. Moshe Rabbeinu sinned. Everybody sins. Why do we sin? So there's two reasons. You have the sinner who's doing it because of his taivas. Hopefully that's all of us. The only time we sin is because we can't help ourselves. We have desires, we have hormones, we have lusts, we have needs, and we can't control them. That's one reason to sin. That's a much, much lower level sin than somebody, and I give the example, you're starving, you haven't had anything to eat, the only place that's open is McDonald's, and you're starved. And you're not cooking for shows, but you're hungry. And nobody's there, nobody's watching you. You're not going in with a shita, I'm allowed to eat at McDonald's. You're embarrassed that you're going to do it, and you go in and you have a cheeseburger. A tzaddik, you're not. A rashi, you might not also be. And such a person, who eats that cheeseburger, is going to have to deal with that sin between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he's not making a shita out of eating that cheeseburger. He's not saying it's mutter to eat that cheeseburger. His taivas, his desires overcame him. His hunger overcame him. It wasn't pikuach nefashos. It wasn't a situation where he had to eat or else he would die. He was hungry. And he couldn't resist the smell. So again, he has to deal with that with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. A sin he did. Isurim he did. But he didn't say that it's mutter to eat a cheeseburger. That's what the Chofetz Chaim is telling us now. If somebody goes against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'ayidei zeh, Yaviru esha'om meirotzen Hashem. Somebody comes into shul, and Nebuch, you know, he's living with another man. And he's carrying on with this other man. And he doesn't tell anybody about it. You happen to know this. And he's in shul, he's davening. He's in shul, he's trying to be a better yid. And what he's doing in his private life, that's his private sin that he's doing, and it's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's not advertising it. And he's not advocating it. And he's not doing something that he's saying, what I'm doing is okay. He can't control himself. So the Chofetz Chaim says, don't fight with that person. That's not the person you're supposed to fight with. And halacha l'maisa, we should accept that person and try to be very nice to them. Please wait. We should try and be very nice and compassionate with that person because he has a taiva that he's not able to control. If you're in a Rebbe Talmud situation, if you're a parent Talmud situation, if you're a good friend, you have to try to work with him. Try to help him. But we don't yell at such a person. We don't necessarily ostracize or throw that person out of the camp of Klal Yisrael. Because if we threw out everybody who did sins, there'd be nobody left. We wouldn't have a minion. But the Chofetz Chaim says, in this situation where somebody is advocating, he's not quiet. He comes into shul and he says, I want you to announce, Rabbi, that this week I'm celebrating my third anniversary with my male lover. And I wanted to make a kiddush on Shabbos. I want you to say Mazel Tov to Yankel and Yitzchak on their third anniversary of their relationship together. Kein Yirbu. And I want everybody to come to my kiddush and give me a Mazel Tov. And if you don't, then I'm going to, not donate to the shul and I'm going to be mad and I'm going to cause all sorts of troubles. In that situation, the Chofetz Chaim says, in this situation, mitzvah lisanosa. Listen to the words of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim was the most peace-loving individual. He says, walk away from a fight. Don't fight with people. When the person comes into shul and wants to make it into a shita, he goes into the yeshiva and says, I want you to teach that there's two mommies, two daddies, or a mommy and a daddy. Anyone is fine. So such a person, the Chofetz Chaim says, mitzvah l'sanosa. We don't hate the sinner. We hate the advocating of a sin. Then you're allowed to hate the person who advocates a sin. As opposed to a person who sins, you're not allowed to hate him. At least not in general. Again, you have to try to convince him not to do a sin if you're in a position to do so. Chofetz Chaim says, mitzvah l'sanosam ulhiskotinimam. And here's the type of guy. You get up, the rabbi should get up and say, no, we're not doing this. And that person is wrong. And we're throwing that person out of the shul. And you're allowed to do that, and you're mechuyev to do that, the Chofetz Chaim says. And do everything in your power to negate that person's shita. And he says, "V'David HaMelech, all of Hashavim, Omar." This is what David HaMelech said, that you're allowed to go and wipe out such a person. And this is the essence of the hashkafa that we should have towards homosexuality. And this is very important for us to realize. Person who has these tendencies and doesn't act on them is a tzaddik gomor. And it's very important. I was told by a friend of mine who's a rav, he got a call from somebody in Lakewood. The fact that it was Lakewood doesn't in any way chas v'shalom go against people living in Lakewood. And it doesn't chas v'shalom mean it doesn't happen elsewhere, because it does. It happens in YU. It happens at Landis. It happens at Turo. It happens in Lakewood. It happens in Ponovich. There are people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave such desires to, and we don't fully know why and understand it. I will try to give you a hashkafic insight in this when we talk about transgender. But such a person who has such desires is in a very, very difficult matzav, in a very, very difficult nisayon. And we should have tremendous compassion for such a person if he fails or if he succeeds in combating his nisyonos. And certainly, if a person has such nisyonos and he's able to overcome them, and he never acts out on these thoughts that he has, such a person is a tzaddik gomer. My friend, who's a rav, got a call from somebody, spent an hour and a half on the phone with him. And this person is married, has children, and Nebuch is in a very, very difficult situation because he doesn't have any feelings emotionally, physically towards his wife. And Nebuch has strong emotional feelings towards her brother. And here he is constantly in the presence of his brother-in-law, and he has these taivas for his brother-in-law, his own wife's brother. And he's able to hold him in check, but he's almost near suicidal. And he's almost crazy from these taivas, but he hasn't acted out on them. Such a person is a tzaddik in the highest levels. He's able to control himself, able to combat this nisyonos. He's standing on holy ground. And Nebuch, even if such a person fails and is not able to combat them, so don't be so quick to judge somebody else who you haven't walked in their shoes. And all of us have our nisyonos. Each of us has different nisyonos. Our job in this world is to combat and fight our nisyonos as best as we can. And if we fail, then we get up, we pick ourselves up, and we try again. David HaMelech fell many times. It says he picked himself up, and he became David HaMelech. And we shouldn't be quick to jump at somebody and call them an avaryin and a this and a that, as long as they're not making it into a shita. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim is telling us. If somebody has a personal avera, personal nisayon, we treat them like a fellow member of Klal Yisrael until they go and remove themselves from that status. And then we have a mitzvah to go and fight them. And then we have a mitzvah to even hate them, which is very unusual. When they make it into a shita that this is what the Torah says is allowed, or they say that this is the Torah is not really talking about that isser, it's talking about some other thing. It doesn't really mean that. So I know I gave a big musa shmuz here right now, but I was quoting straight from Gemara's Midrashim and Shulchan Aruch, and now I'll be happy to take any questions. Yeah.
Would you consider anybody that came out of the closet considered that they are now saying that it's a shita?
So it's hard to make a general statement. If somebody is coming out of the closet and saying, I need help, and I want to try to combat this, so then call a kavod to that person. If he's not making a sheet out of it, if he says, these are the tendencies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, how can I combat them? I'm not going to try to get married because I would be in a very, very harmful relationship with a woman. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say in that situation, Onus Rachmona Patre, the person can't be a good husband. It's impossible for him to be a good husband, so it would be a mekach tos. It would be a terrible thing for a woman to get married to such a person if he can't be physically and emotionally a husband for her. So that wouldn't necessarily pull a person out of being a member of Klal Yisrael in that extent. If he goes into a situation where he says, I want to be accepted for having such a relationship that's awesome in our Torah, so then a person would fit into the category that the Chafetz Chaim says, mutal l'sanoso.
There's certain sins that, like, even though everyone does sin, there's certain sins you just can't tolerate or it'll spread, even though...
Depends what. We let many people that are Mechal Shabbos come into our shul and daven. We know that they're Mechal Shabbos. Why does that... Why it should bother us. It does bother us. But we would not give them an aliyah. We would not let them daven with us.
It's publicly known.
The people that are Mechal Shabbos of Hesia, they come to shul all the time. So there's a lot of discussion about that, how you give them an aliyah, whether you give them one of the seven aliyahs, whether today we do have the status of persons with challah, Shabbos, with fahesios, everybody at Tinok Shanishba. It's a whole separate discussion. We certainly aren't going to throw the guy out of the shul who wants to come in and daven. Who would throw a person out of the shul? Which Orthodox shul would throw a challah Shabbos out of the shul on Shabbos? So the same way, we don't throw them a challah Shabbos, comes to the shul to daven. As long as he doesn't get up there and when the rabbi says, Shabbos, he says, that's not true. So then we throw the person out of the shul. Then you have a permission to go fight with him. He says, it means to rest. It means you should watch TV all Shabbos. It means you should go to the beach on Shabbos. That's what rest means. So you throw the person out of the shul. So if the person is doing adultery, we don't say he can't come to shul. He gets up and says, adultery is mutter. You throw him out of the shul. Same thing with Mishkav Zoch. The person has a private sin. He's not publicizing the sin. Even if people know about it, he's not publicizing the sin. He's not looking to make an ashita. He'd like to mix in and fit in with everybody else. You're not mechuyev to argue and fight with him. That's the Chafetz Chaim. That's not me talking. This is the Chafetz Chaim.
I just feel like if there was a rapist in the shul, would you not throw
this person
him?
Dangerous is a different... This person isn't dangerous. He's not having Mishkav Zoch, a relationship with men in the bathroom against their will. The person eats non-kosher. He's not forcing you to eat lobster. That's a huge difference. He's not a rapist. He's not a person who's going to force other people to do aveiros. Huge, huge difference. If he is, so then, of course you don't let him in. Just like if a guy's a murderer, you don't let him into the shul. If a guy's, he beats people up, he robs people, he threatens people, you don't let him into shul. It's a different level of issa. as serious as it is. That's why I want from the beginning, I'm not a righty or a lefty on this. I'm saying what the Chafetz Chaim says. I'm saying what Torah Kedoshah says. You have to be compassionate with people who are trying to be Oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if they're unsuccessful. We have to know what the Torah says about the sin and about the sinner. And when somebody doesn't have a shita, somebody does have a shita. That's what this shir is about. Yeah, you had a whole lot of questions. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I forgot two of them.
Okay. I hope I answered them.
No, I forgot all of them now.
Okay. If you think about them, you can ask them later. Yeah. Other questions about this? I mean, this is a very hot subject. I hate to say it's a very common subject. There are many people in the past that we would never know about. Today, people are, quote, coming out. So how you come out is very critical. If you're doing it as a shita, it's a big problem. If you're doing it to seek help or to be able to fit in as best as you can with society, the person says, I have these tendencies, I'm not going to get married, don't keep on asking me to set me up with people. You know, it's not going to work. I can't. It's not fair to her. It's not fair to me. But I'm going to live life as a single celibate Shomer Torah Mitzvos, a tzaddik gomor. Such a person is a tzaddik. His share in Gan Eden is lofty. And we have to understand that. And that's very important. Yeah.
Come back to the beginning. I missed what you said. What was the lab for female homosexuality?
So it's called a miscellaneous, literally curling your hair. So it's a lab. It's
what's the pasuk?
It's not based upon a pasuk. We use the term by Yosef. He was misalsel bisaro, so that's where that terminology comes from. So for women, it's a lot. There's no act, so to say, that's being performed. So it's not a chiyuv misa. But a man, if a man touches another man, so that's not a chiyuv misa either. It's the act of tashmish that makes it a chiyuv misa. A person expresses such tendencies but doesn't act on them, it's not a lav even. I mean, it's inappropriate to think about this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him those thoughts, onus rachmona patre. He should try not to think about them. He certainly should not try to act on them in any way, shape, or form, even if it's not the type of action that would be a non-capital crime type of action. Shulchan Aruch has a whole bunch of interesting questions. Actually, I'm glad you brought it up. Talks about, is there an isser of yichud for a man with a man? Normally, there's no iser of yichud for a man with a man. So would such a person have an iser of yichud? We'll get to that in a moment, but I want to answer his question before he forgets.
Yeah, what was the source for the
Mabul
thing?
So the source of the Mabul is a Medrash Rabbah that is found in two places, in Vayikra and also in Bereishis Rabbah. The exact address... The exact address over here is Vayikra Parsha Chav Gimel Tes and Bereishis Rabbah Chav Vav Hey. Okay, and there is another girsa that says they made ksubas between men and animals. That's even a bigger avera. Yeah.
I know I came a little bit late. And if this was talked about already, please just tell me to see you after shir. Being on what Rabbi just said about the Issa Yichud, if a man is homosexual, is there an
issue? Good. So let's talk about this right now. So a very interesting shaila, and this can be found in Evan Ezer Chav Dalid, and the title of this siman in Shulchan Aruch is Ein Yisrael Chashudim Al Harviya V'Al HaZochar. That's the title of this siman. Men are not suspected of Rachmana Litzlan committing acts of homosexuality. And the Mechaber writes, Lo nechshedu Yisrael, mishkav zoch, v'yal behema. Lefikach, ein isel is yachinimon. Mechaber writes, this is not a concern. In general, it's not a concern that a man would do something inappropriate with a man or with an animal, and therefore there's no issa for a person to be in the dorm, right? Every dorm, every yeshiva. How can you have two boys in the same room? Issa yichud. How can a person ever have a pet? Right? Guy's a farmer, he has a cow. Hi, how can you have a cow? Yeah, you go into the barn alone with the cow for 5 minutes. Oh, yichud. So the Mechaber says this is not a halacha. There is no such concern. However, the Beis Shmuel brings down over here. Beis Shmuel says, he brings down the Bach, cause of the Rav, cause of Zelefi Medin also. The Mechaber, the Rav, writes this in Eretz Yisrael, in Sfat, in the 1500s. Okay? Shayu prutzim b'ayrizu. And he says over here that there were people that were, So the Bach over here, he's quoting the Bach, who says that the Mechaber was writing his halacha over here, because I didn't finish reading the halacha, so let me finish reading the halacha. He says, Ubedoros halalu, I made the mistake, I just read you the first part of the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, however, nowadays, Shirabu ha-pritzim yesh l'srachim l'siachim mazocha. If somebody, nowadays, unfortunately, when already in the times of the Mechaber, things were more prevalent that this sin was around, so the Mechaber suggests, don't be misyachid a man with a man. And so the Bach says, that was the Mechaber talking in his time, in his place, where it's not uncommon. He says, Medina Seinu, Medina Soshu, Prutzim, Baverizu, he had to say this. Avo Medina Seinu, the Bach says, where we live in Europe, Ain't Sarach Lisrachik Medina, Rak Mimidis Chasidis. He says, if you want to not have a male roommate, that's a Midis Chasidis, but otherwise there's no problem. He says, that's Yichud Ba'alma, Avo Lishkov Yachad, he says, it's still not a good idea. That you shouldn't sleep in the same bed with another man, that's not a good idea. But Yichud, he says, it's not a problem. The Marshal says over here, that this is so rare nowadays in the Marshal's time, that it's mechze kiyuara. If a person were to say, I'm not going to be miyache with another man, it's mechze kiyuara. And the bottom line is, we paskin over here, mechze kiyuara means that you're making yourself into, oh, I'm such a tzaddik, I don't do this. You're acting in an arrogant way. So lemaisa, halach lemaisa, there is no problem, no yeshiva that I know of is choshesh for this in general and doesn't allow two boys to share a room. Right, you have something that's eight boys in a room the size that's half the size of this room, right? So, okay, not an isser that you even have to be choshish for. But if somebody has those tendencies, so certainly it's not a midas chasidus. That's very appropriate for that person not to be going into the shower with other men, not to go to the mikveh with other men. If that's going to give him erurim, that's going to give him inappropriate thoughts. If that's going to make his nisayon that much more difficult, Allah has kama v'kama. Should he follow this idea of what the Marshal calls a midus chasidus over here and stay as far away from this nisayon as he possibly can? Does that answer your question? Okay. Other questions?
He also asked the thing for women.
I'm sorry.
Is there an isser yichud for a homosexual for him to be misyachid with a woman?
So there's an interesting Rav Moshe about that. If I remember correctly, Rav Moshe said that if a person is impotent, so there may not be an isser yichud in that situation under certain situations. So I wouldn't suggest that.
There's no tendency.
So Rav Moshe seems to say that you can take into account the physical ability. So whether it's a physical impotence or mental impotence, so to say, is not going to excite him. So then maybe there would be some heter, but I would in general say no, he shouldn't take advantage of that. Who knows what would be in that situation, and it's also still inappropriate to cast laws on the woman. So it's certainly not a good suggestion, even if it may not be absolutely halachically osur. So I certainly would not recommend it. Shouldn't dispense with the issur b'yichud because it doesn't apply to it. So again, there may be a tenor. Rav Moshe has it again with a female nurse taking care of a male patient, and the male patient's impotent. Is there any problem with isurim in that situation? So Rav Moshe was makel in that situation. That doesn't mean it's a carte blanche. Anytime that there's no chashash.
The nurse is a different story.
So again, for the nurse, there might be a different problem. Yeah. Okay, question? Okay. So, Bekitz and Nimrutz, that's, again, I got to try to keep track of the time if I want to get through everything. Bekitz and Nimrutz, that is a little bit of the discussion. I want to just close with Yerushalmi. Again, to put things in the proper perspective. The Yerushalmi is found in the ninth parak of Brochos on Daf Pei Tesamud Aleph. The Yerushalmi says, Omer Ravacha. Ravacha states, Ba'ovo Mishkav Zohar, the sin of Mishkav Zohar, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said, Ato ziazato evorech al dover sheino shelcha. You caused your limbs to move because of something that you weren't entitled to, something that was wrong. You know what I'm going to do? Chayecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, swears, Shani mizazeya olami al oso ish. I will cause the world to shake. I will cause earthquakes. This Gemara is in the context of earthquakes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will cause earthquakes because you are doing this sin. That's what the Yerushalmi says. Again, I'm making any commentary. I'm reading to you the sources in Halacha. The Yerushalmi says over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created earthquakes in the world because of Mishkav Zohar. So you can take that for whatever you want. You can think about where earthquakes are. My point over here is not to say anything other than what the Yerushalmi says, anything other than what Shulchan Aruch says, anything other than what the Gedolei HaPoskim say. There has to be a balance between our kanos for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our v'ahavta l'rechah kamocha. And we have to know when each din applies. When you're mutul sanosam, and when unfortunately you're not, or fortunately you're not mechuyev, and v'ahavta l'rechah kamocha, and yitamu chatoyim, al tikri chatoyim elochotim min ha'olam. Right? Al tikri chotim elochatoyim. So we have to know when and how we have to be kanoim, and when and how we have to be ohavim yohavta l'recha kamocha. Yeah.
Last question on this. Sure. Just in terms of defining the actual iser, would you say it's, would you say it's lifnei iver for a beis din to convert someone who is a homosexual?
So what, when you
because
say
it, because it can possibly help you define the iser now, because so, if it's lifnei iver or not.
So when you say lifting it, for a homosexual person who wants to be misgayer, if I understand you correctly,
yes.
So in what way would that be his accepting all mitzvos? He has to accept so all old mitzvos. So based in, when asking, are you makabel all mitzvos? Yeah, every 612. So then you're not makabel all mitzvos. So if the person openly says, I'm not going to be makabel all mitzvos, I don't know how a beis din could accept it. The beis din doesn't know. So then his gayrus could be a valid gayrus, and then oy vavoy for that person.
Right.
In that question, that's actually asked by transgender. Should you convert a person who's transgender? And it actually brings down the poskim that bring down that you shouldn't, because you're actually causing him much worse. So my assumption would be the same thing in regards to a guy. However, I should point out that this is one of the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and it's a capital crime for a guy as well. So he's not really going from a situation where it's mutter to a situation where it's aser. He's going from a situation where it's a chi of misa to a situation where it's a chi of misa. But to make him do it under the rubric of being a yid is probably not in his best interest. Okay. So that's homosexuality in a kitzur nimrus. Let's talk about transgender. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on going over anything that I just said. I won't repeat anything I just said, but everything applies there in terms of the way that we're supposed to approach a transgender person in terms of compassion. So who is the first transgender person in the world? So again, I'll read you a Bereishis Rabbah. Bereishis Rabbah in Parsha Ches in Bereishis, in the first siman. So the Bereishis Rabbah brings down Omer of Yimri ben Elazar, Bishar Shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Adam HaRishon Androgynos Baro. Who's the first transgender person? Avram Avinu. He was both genders. He was male and female. And we know that it says Zachar Unikeva Barosam. So there's many different interpretations of that was. One of the more famous interpretations is that Adam and Chava was a single entity. Adam faced one way, Chava faced this way. They were both created originally, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu split them apart. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon as both male and female, and then he separated Adam into a male entity, and he created a female entity. So Adam HaRishon had certain tendencies. So that's an important thing to understand. Where else in Tanakh do we have this transgender person? Who's the first transgender people in Tanakh? So there's a fascinating Targum Yonas ibn Uziel. On the birth of Yosef and Dinah. So there's two fascinating understandings of that. One is that this was a transplantation. I think I mentioned this the other day when we did the transplantation share. I don't remember exactly, but if I didn't, it's kedai to mention it now, that there's an opinion that says that that was the first transplant, that the womb of Leah containing Yosef was transferred into being the womb of Rachel. And that the womb of Rachel, containing Dinah, was transplanted into the womb of Leah. And that was the first transplant. And that Rachel was the genetic mother, of Dinah and the birth mother of Yosef. Everybody understand that? Everybody got that? And vice versa, that Leah was the genetic mother of Yosef and the birth mother of Dinah. And some use that for the whole discussion of surrogate motherhood in halacha. And some use that as stating that the birth mother is considered the halachic mother and not the genetic mother. Many poskim disagree with that and say you can't bring a raya for an agadita. We don't poskim from agaditas. Therefore, you can't use this as any sort of a source as to deciding the medical halachic question of if somebody has surrogate motherhood, are they in fact halachically or not considered the mother? So this is a very important question. It's a huge controversy amongst the poskim. I would dare say that most poskim today would say that the genetic mother is certainly the mother, and maybe the birth mother as well. A person could have two mothers. Could be kulas as well. Rahman al-Islam, if this person were to hit his mother, so normally be chayav misa, but here we would go safek of misa lahakel. So there may be ramifications. And Yerusha the ramifications, and Kibbutz Avim the ramifications, and other aspects of ramifications. That's one understanding. There's an even bigger understanding, or more chiddushic understanding of this. The Al-Shech brings down, the Yerushalmi brings this down, also based upon these psukim, and says that, in fact, the same thing. Leah was the genetic mother of Yosef. Yosef was inside Leah. Okay? And that was what was supposed to come out of Leah. And you know what? Leah davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Yosef was turned into a girl who was named Dinah. That's what the Al-Shech and the Yerushalmi say. Rachel had inside of her a girl. And that girl, through the tefillos of Mestama Rachel and Leah, certainly Leah, turned into a boy named Yosef. And listen what the Al-Shech says further. Al-Shech HaKadosh. We don't have many, many Rabbanim that are known as the Kadosh. Right? The Shalah HaKadosh, the Arachayim HaKadosh, the Al-Shech HaKadosh. He was one of the biggest Talmidim of Rav Yosef Karo. A great Mekubal, a great, great Talmud Chacham, and a Halachicist, as well as a Kabbalist. And the Al-Shech writes that therefore, Yosef has feminine tendencies, transgender tendencies. And that's where they use the expression, the salsa basarosa. Yosef looked in the mirror. He was a pretty boy. He liked to go and see his appearance. That was a feminine characteristic that Yosef had based upon this origins of Yosef. And Dinah had masculine characteristics. She was a yotzanis. She went out. Vatetze Dina Basleya. She went out. A masculine trait. Kokvud Basmelech Penima. But she was Vatetze Dina. She went out. So therefore, the Al-Shech HaKadosh says a fascinating idea. This was a transgender feeling. Now, Chas V'Shalom, he's not saying that they were transgender. But he's saying that this, from a Hashkafic point of view, is a very interesting phenomenon, that a person could be created in a certain way and yet have certain tendencies in another way. And now I will blow your mind. I'm going to read you from the old Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, the great Ben Ish Chaim, the Sfaradi Chofetz Chaim, the great posek of the Sfaradim. And he quotes over here from Rav Yosef Karo, the Mechaber. Okay, and he quotes from the Magid Meishorim. Who's the author of the Magid Meishorim? Rav Yosef Karo. Why is this sefer called the Magid Meishorim? Because Rav Yosef Karo had a chavrusa who was called the Magid. It wasn't Rav Shvadron Zatzal. It wasn't Rabbi Pesach Kron Shlita. It was a malach. I've had Baruch Hashem good chavrusas in my life. I've never had a malach as a chavrusa. I assume most of you have not as well. Yosef Karo, Zatzal, was Zolchet to have as a Chavrusa Malach, and he published a sefer, what the Magid taught him, called the Magid Meisharim. It's very interesting, we almost never paskin like that sefer. It think if the Malach tells you what the Halach is, lo b'shamayim, exactly. So we actually don't necessarily follow the Piskei Halachas in there. I'm sorry? Yeah. We don't paskim in Hashemayim. Famous machlok is Rabbi Lezer and the Rabbi Yoshua. Lo b'shamayim. We're also in Erevin on Daf Yud Gimel, same Gemara from before. That's the source of that whole discussion. So we don't paskim in Hashemayim. But in any event, we certainly read those books with great interest. And listen what the old Yosef Chaim, Yosef Chaim Mibagdad, says that the Mechaber of Yosef Karo asked the Magid in the Magid Meshorim, he asked him the following Shiloh. He was remarried, his first wife Mistama passed away, and he was remarried, and his wife had remarried him, her first husband had passed away. And they weren't zochet to have children. Obviously, they were the age that they still could have children. The wife was certainly the age that she could still have children. And they didn't have children together. Now, he had previously children, and she had previously children, so obviously there wasn't infertility in either of them. So he asked the Magid, and this, I have this here, this is in the old Yosef Chai. I will show you the exact source. He says, how come, Reb Magid, I'm not zochet to have children? And he writes, he says, Nasel is galga b'nekeva, mido k'neged b'ido. Your wife has a male soul. She's a gilgul of a man. That's what the Magid writes. Rav Yosef Karo's wife had in the previous gilgul been a man. And what type of man? A big Talmud Chacham. But he had one major problem. He didn't like to give shiur. He liked to learn Torah and keep it to himself. The person who gives shiurim is a mashpia. It's a male characteristic. The man is the one who gives out the zera. The woman is the recipient. She's the one that receives the zera. Mido kineged mido, he writes. Your prior Gilgul didn't want to teach Torah. You want to keep it to yourself. Mida keneged mida, you'll come back as a Gilgul where you'll be a recipient and rather than a giver. And the reason why your wife can't have children is because she has a male neshama. Fascinating. Now, I don't claim to understand that. It's a fascinating idea that Rav Yosef Chaim brings down. And he says there is this concept of a male neshama and a female neshama. And sometimes a male neshama gets put into a woman's body, and sometimes a female neshama gets put into a man's body. And that possibly could have consequences or ramifications, nafkamina, on how that person conducts themselves. Now, I'm not going to try to explain or understand this, but again, from a hashkafic point of view, it accentuates what I mentioned before about the Chafetz Chaim, that we have to have tremendous compassion for people that have certain tendencies because they may be hardwired into their soul, those tendencies. And again, there's a whole arichas here. If anybody wants a copy of this, I'll be happy to send it out. It's an unbelievable idea. So what do we do with this? This is a pure hashkafa. There's no halacha l'maisa coming out of this, except in our eyes, when somebody has certain tendencies or does certain things and can't control himself, we should realize that there's maybe there more than meets the eye. And we should again remind ourselves of the Chafetz Chaim to have compassion, remind ourselves of Bruria, how we should relate towards such people with such nisyonos. It doesn't mean we're mottering or condoning or allowing, permitting in any way anything that's usur. It's understanding a little bit better why a person may have such a tendency. And that's all I want you to understand from that, because I can't understand any more from it myself, but I don't want to tell you something that I don't understand. But now you have the nafkaminas over here. What is the isser? Today we have the ability to change physically, through surgery, a man into a woman, a functioning woman. And create all the genitalia for the woman. With hormones, we can make breast development, other secondary sexual characteristics. We can create a vault that functions as the osa makom for a woman. And we can create a man and make him physically, outwardly, and externally looked like a woman. And lest you think that's not possible, you can't see this so well, there's the famous Wheaties box with Bruce Jenner on the top of it. From 1976, I think it was. I don't remember exactly when, in the Olympics, right? He was the decathlete. He was a great physical specimen of malehood. And they have a joke. He's on the Wheaties box over here as Caitlyn Jenner. For all practical purposes, you would not look at this picture and say that that's a man. So I have no idea, nor do I really care, whether he's undergone surgery or not. But medically, there are hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of people that have undergone such surgery. And we have the ability medically for a while to make a man look like a woman, and with hormones we can make secondary sexual characteristics as well, plus with surgery. And more recently, we have the ability to take a woman, a genetically, physically clear woman, and create a male organ. This is newer technology, newer surgical techniques. And to make a functioning male organ in terms of having the ability to have tashmish, in neither case can they have pregnancy, either to impregnate or to become pregnant. That we haven't yet figured out to do. I don't know if we ever will. But we have the ability to make a person externally, who was a man, biologically, genetically, physically, look for all outwardly purposes, even when naked, as a full woman, and vice versa, a woman who is from all genetic, biological, physical characteristics, a woman, and make that person look outwardly, for all extents and purposes, even naked, as a man. So this brings up tremendous shilas over here. What is the halacha if a person were to request such surgery? So there are a number of isurim that are involved over here. So
in the surgery,
yes. Again, if a person has these desires and doesn't do anything about them, tzadik gomur, tzadik is gomur, right? This is nisyonos that they're undergoing. If they control themselves and don't act out on these nisyonos, very difficult. They're often very unhappy. High suicide rate, nevach, amongst these people. They're very unhappy. They don't feel comfortable in their own soul. So we have to recognize that. We have to treat them and help them in a halachically acceptable way. So is it halachically acceptable to say, well, you think you're a man, let's do surgery to make you a man. You think you're a woman, let's do surgery to make you a woman. So there are a number of isurim over here. Number one, isa daraisa, vayikra, chav beis, chav dalid, umoch v'chosus v'nosuk, uchorus, lo sakriv u'lashem, uv'artzachem lo sasu. And now I castrate somebody. So the surgery requires emasculation, castration of the man. So for the man, there's an issa daraisa. A big kula, everybody loves kulas. For a woman, it's only an issa darabana. Yoridea, Evan Ezer, Simin Hey, Sif Yud Aleph, that it's only an issa darabana to remove the ovaries of a woman. Again, an issa darabana. We're not saying it's mutter. So there's a difference again here between men and women. Okay? Another problem. Assuming this was or was not a problem. The guy is now a girl. He puts on a dress. Oh. Lo yebukli geber alisha lo yubash geber simlas isha ki sov as Hashem alokecho kolos yeyla dvarim chav beiz hey pasuk in the Torah. So you have a problem of men wearing women's clothing, women wearing men's clothing. So, clearly, there's an isser, either darais or the rabbanon, to do the surgery. And in Shulchan Aruch it brings down, even though the pasuk says uva'artzuchem lo sasu, this applies in chutz laaretz. So don't think that if you go up from Eretz Yisrael to the United States, it's mutter. Shulchan Aruch it brings down the isser is across the world. Okay? Now, is there any sort of a heter for this? So, one potential heter would be if somebody had this done while they were a guy. And now they're converting. So you would ask a little bit like that before, but if the person is already in this situation, there was no isser, there's no isser as far as I know, it's not one of the Zaymis of the Noach to emasculate a guy, for a guy to be emasculated. That's not an isser. So after the fact, maybe there would be a heter to accept such a person, assuming that they're not going to do any isserim further. So maybe that might apply. But otherwise, there's really no head to this. He had a question. Yeah.
What happened to the transgender guy? wants to convert?
That's what I was just talking about. A transgender guy wants to convert, so he's already done the surgery, so if he converts, so the surgery's already been done, you can't retroactively say he's now awesome. You still have the problems of how we halachically consider him. If he's a woman now, it's no problem for him to wear a dress. If he's a man, it's still a problem with silbash.
Well, what's the problem? Is there any mitzvah problem? Or?
So, we'll get into a whole bunch of mitzvahs. Does he put on tefillin? Does he not put on tefillin? Well, does he get married? Does he not get married? So, what's his halachic status? Right, so we have to discuss that, yeah.
But the concept of geiris, when he converts, is a new person. Brand new person.
So that's how do we view such a person? Is it man or a woman? Does he need a bris milah when he converts, for example? So these are a lot of very interesting questions. We're not going to get to all of them tonight, but you're touching upon them. You had a question back there? I saw another hand raised. No? Okay. So these are important questions over here. So what the ramifications of this, how do we consider this person who has such surgery? Again, be'issa, the person should have had such surgery. Or he didn't have the surgery, and now he just wants to act like a woman. He's taking hormones, or vice versa, acting like a man. Which side of the mechitza do they sit on and daven on? Do they wear tefillin or not? How should they dress? How do they get buried? Which chevr kedisha does the tahara? All of these are huge questions. Unless you think that they've not been asked, everyone's been asked. There's a famous sefer called Dor Tapuchos, based upon the pasuk Ki Dor Tapuchos Hema, which is in the name of a sefer by a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Idan, who wrote a 300-plus page sefer, no pictures, all small print, with lots of references, asking every one of these shilas, and they're all halacha l'maisa shilas that were asked to him or asked to other rabbanim. So these shilas, unfortunately, do come up. Transgender surgery is a major cutting-edge surgical technique. It is being used daily in places across the country. This is not unusual surgery. It's not common surgery, Baruch Hashem. It's not at all unusual surgery. It is going on right now, today. There were such operations in the United States. Every day there were such operations. Yes?
If a Jewish plastic surgeon gets a case,
so this—it's a huge problem. You're not allowed to, you can deny anything. You don't go into that field. Why would anybody go into transgender surgery if they're
I'm not saying that.
So plastic surgery, a typical plastic surgery can't do this.
You can almost refer them.
Right, but you wouldn't be in this field. You shouldn't go into this field. Right. It's a field that's fraught with Yisurim. So I would dare say that there aren't any such from plastic surgeons. And not plastic surgeons, they're transgender surgeons. It's much more than plastic surgery. This is major reconstructive surgery.
Right.
So no from person who would ask a shayla would go into this field. You sometimes have Balei Tshuva that didn't ask a shayla and are this, and Baruch Hashem, they're now seeing the light of day. So that's a different shayla, a very difficult question. You have the same thing with Kohanim. You know, where they are not allowed to go to medical school. We'll leave that shayla unanswered right now. That's a very, 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 very difficult shayla. No, now they're a doctor. It's no issa to go to them as a doctor. So these are very tough shaylas. But I just want to show you that you can have early sources for this. You would think that there's no such source. Okay? If you were to have relations with such a person who physically was a man and now becomes a woman, they have a vagina created. They are physically, externally a woman. And a man has relations with that woman who previously was a man through the newly created vaginal orifice. Is that Mishkav Zohar or not? Fascinating question. What's the source for this? A tshuva from Rav Yashiv Zatzal. The great Rav Yashiv, the Posek Hador in Eretz Yisrael, addressed this question. And he brings down, based upon, over here, an Ibn Ezra, who quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel on Vayikra Yudches Chav Beis. It says in the Pasuk, Ve'ezachar lo sishkav mishkevei isha toivahi, that you're not permitted to go and have relations with a man, mishkevei isha. Now, there are extra words over there. Okay, ezachal otishkav. Okay, you're not allowed a man sleep with a man. Why does it say mishkevei isha? So he brings down over here that this is talking about if there's an orifice, an artificial orifice. The Rabbeinu Chananel still says that it's an issur mishkav zohar. So he wasn't talking about transgender surgery, but he was saying that if a male has relations with another male through another orifice, even if it's not the rectum, classical via shloki darka. And I apologize for using terminology that is potentially not the typical stuff that you hear in a shir, but I have to be clear in what I'm saying, and I don't want to use euphemisms any more than I have to make sure that I'm not misunderstood. So the Rabbeinu Chananel says if a person were to have relations with another orifice other than the rectum, so then it would still be an issur of mishkav zohar. And Rav Yashin wants to suggest over here that if you create an artificial orifice, he says three things. It's definitely bioderech evarim. For the person to have such tashmish is absolutely forbidden. For the man to have that, it's called, over here, the equivalent of masturbation. Number one. He says it's over hashchasa zerel of atola, spilling seed in vain. And he's left with the tzarech iyun, is this mishkav zohar. This is a tshuva, modern day tshuva, a few years ago, written by Rav Yashiv Zatzal, a great post-sec in Eretz Yisrael, was not hesitant to discuss this subject, more to paskin on it.
The first question, what was the first one
that
you said?
It's the equivalent of masturbation. It's called Bia Derech Evarim. Okay. So this Rabbi Dan writes this sefer, Dor Tapuchos, and he was asked many different shilas. I'll just throw you out a couple of them. So, do you need to do a bris milah? This person converts. Now he's megayer. He has a gid. Do you do a bris milah now?
Which type is he asking?
He was a girl who became a boy, and now he wants to be megayer. So he was genetically a girl, physically a girl, became a boy. He wants to convert. I'm sorry?
Surgery was before Gerus.
Surgery before Gerus. He's Baal Tshuva.
Right.
He says, I see the light.
Right.
I want to be a Yid. And I'm sorry that I did it, but I did it. What do I do? He's not going to undo the surgery. So what does he do?
He said that the transgender would convert. There would be a lot of
There are a lot of problems. So first,
the rabbi would convert.
He was converted. They didn't know. So now, do you do a bris milah as part of that conversion?
If bris milah was required,
would you need a bris milah? So he says, there's an extra word here as well. It says va'arel zohar asher limos v'saro l'sol v'nich v'sol. So there's an extra word over there, zohar. Can show you the greatness of Gedolei Yisrael, how they can look at a pasuk. He could have said V'yorel Shelo Yimolis B'saro L'Sol. It says V'yorel Zohar. So Rav Yosef Pelagi, the Yosef Esahav, brings down, he says the extra word Zohar says that the person has to be born a male. You have to be a Zohar and have an Orla. It's not enough to have an Orla without being a zohar. And he says, if a man, here he has to shilin this way. If he was born as a man and he becomes a woman physically, he says that there's no bris milah necessary in this situation. You don't have to do hatafas dam bris. Very interesting psak. I'm not telling you this is accepted by everybody. I'm just telling you some of these interesting questions that came up. He says, if a man became a woman, and she does convert, no bris milah is necessary, but he brings down the name of Rechaim Rappaport, Shlita, he's a rav in London, says don't convert such a person. This is what I mentioned before. He says you're not doing the guy any favors, not doing the girl any favors. Much better for them to be a guy. As a guy, they could possibly get married. As a guy, they can do certain things. Certainly, certain wouldn't be applicable by a guy that would be applicable to a Jew. You're better off, he says, not converting such a person. Okay. Other interesting, yeah.
Since we answered the shayla already, and that you have to be a male from the start, won't this answer a bunch of other shaylas? Because if you flip it, then you're contradicting. Meaning, let's say
that's a din, specific din. They darshan from that word zohar for bris milah. They're not darshaning anything else. There's a whole, I'll give you a list, there's about 10 poskim I have over here. I don't want to, I guess, can't go through all the psak halacha, but there are about 10 different poskim that I found that bring down that halachically we view the person as their original genetic physical status. We don't view them. There is one opinion that may suggest otherwise. That's not la halacha. The Tzitz Eliezer may have looked like he paskin that la halacha, but everybody agrees subsequently he did not. And lemaisa, in halacha, we view a person as their birth gender, even if they've had surgery. La halacha lemaisa. That seems to be. But there's ramifications over here. He says, benching. I'll just give you, just to pique your curiosity. Benching. Do you have a zimun? If you have two men, plus this woman who used to be, this man who physically is a man now, but used to be a woman. Do you have a zimun? Again, there's tons of shilas that come up. So he says, you can't count this woman who appears like a man for a zimun, but he says, if they appear like a man, you could count them for a zimun. Interesting. Again, I'm not saying that all the poskim agree with him, but he says that in certain respects you could count them. He says in terms of which side of the mechitza should they daven on, he says you can't count them for a minyan if they're physically born as a woman, but if they're dressed like a man and looking like a man, they should daven on the men's side of the mechitza, and they could even wear tefillin. But if it's a man who looks like he's a woman, it's a chiyuv for him to still put on tefillin, but he should do it at home and not in the shul, and he should daven on the women's side of the mechitza, because it's going to cause too much problems if you have men davening on the women's side of the mechitza looking like men who are really halachically women. So he says in regards to where they daven, it's how they look. And this would have halachal ma'aser ramifications. Somebody who hasn't had the surgery but looks like a woman or looks like a man, you're not mechuyav to start asking questions. If the man comes into shul, looks like a man, you're not mechuyav to go and interrogate him. A woman comes into shul, looks like a woman, you're not mechuyav to interrogate her. The men who look like a man daven on the men's side of the mechitza, and the women on the women's side of the mechitza. If you happen to know that somebody is not genetically, biologically a man, so don't count them for a minyan. Even if he's davening on the men's side of mechitza, it's going to cause some problems when you have 10 and we say we're waiting for a minyan. But other than that, it won't cause problems.
A man, someone who's born a man and looks like a woman can be...
So technically you could, but he says we don't do it because he's davening on the women's side of the mechitza.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do we view Israel's...
Ah, so very good. So he says, erva, very good. That's the next thing I was going to discuss about. If the woman is dressed inappropriately, but she used to be a man, so she's not wearing a shirt, she looks like a woman. So he brings down over here, you shouldn't look at davening in front of such a person because it's going to give you hirurim. It's inappropriate. Even though you're technically looking at a man. Okay? He says the Yisurim of Kol Isha and Negiyah also apply in such a situation because you're going to have Taivis and it's going to lead one thing to the next. So this is a little bit like we asked before in terms of Yichud. You asked the Shaila about Yichud. It says the same thing here. There's going to be even though technically she's a man, so there's no Kol Isha by a man, there's no Negiyah by a man. I can shake anybody's hand even if they're, whatever their sexual desires are, there's no problem me shaking the hand on Shabbos. It says if they look like a woman, don't do it. So the opposite way, if this woman over here was a woman and she looks like a man, and she has her no shirt on, but she looks like a man, you could daven in front of her. So it won't lead to hirurim. So here he says it's based upon hirurim. Again, I'm not saying that this is the final psak, and everybody agrees with this psakim of Rabbi Dan, but they're well thought out, and certainly it's a gadol's opinion of what they are. He says, in this situation, Kol Isha and Negiyah also don't apply. So this Bruce Jenner, who sings like Caitlyn Jenner, so he says it wouldn't be issa to hear her singing. That's what he says. Does she need to cover her hair? Caitlyn Jenner decides to convert. She's now Chana Jenner. Does she need to cover her hair? She gets married. So he says, doesn't need to cover her hair. Interesting. Doesn't need to cover hair. It's no din of sheitel for a man. Tupay is a different story. Eidus. Can she give Eidus? Caitlyn Jenner. Again, assuming she's had the transsexual surgery or not. Either way. She's coming in. My name is Caitlyn Jenner. I used to be Baruch Jenner. And I testified that Reuven owned Shimon on $100. I have another aid with me. So he paskins, yeah, she has to give edus. Edus depends on the birth. A man can give edus, a woman can't give edus on financial matters. So he says she still could give edus.
Is there a makkah for that?
No. It's based upon, he says, halachically, it's still considered a man. So if you're halachically a man, so you technically. Now, whether he lost his cheskes kashrus, let's assume he did tshuva. He did tshuva. So he's regained his cheskes kashrus over here. Again, the shilas are more interesting necessarily than the actual psak halacha. I'm telling you what his psak halacha was. Whether all the gedolei Yisrael would agree with this, I don't know. Shouldn't it says financial claims. Does it make any difference over here, inheritance-wise? So would you be able to go and inherit? So she's the bechora, and now she's the bechor. Does she get pishnayim? Does she even collect? She says you go by the birth. So if Bruce Jenner was born, Baruch Jenner was a Bechor, he would still get Pishnayim. He would still get a regular share. If he was born Chana Jenner, and now he's Baruch Jenner, so then he gets nothing. If there are other boys, so again, he would inherit like a girl, whatever the dinim are for a girl. And finally, he brings down the Tahara. Very interesting language. Rahman al-Islam, they pass away. Okay, who does the Tahara on Chana Jenner? The male Chaver Kedisha or the female Chaver Kedisha? So you go by the female appearance. So the female Chaver Kedisha would do the Tahara on Baruch Jenner, born Baruch Jenner, who is now Chana Jenner. Because again, I would assume it's based upon hirhurim and inappropriateness. It's just not appropriate for the male Chaver Kedisha to do a Tahara on a female-looking person, even though halachically they were male. And he says that the female Chaver Kedisha should do the Tahara and vice versa. In regards to burial, In our circles, I would dare say, looking around the room, we normally do bury husbands and wives together. In some Hasidisha circles, and not only Hasidisha, even in some Litvisha circles, so the men are buried in a row, and the women are buried in another row. And they line up the husband with the wife, husband, wife, husband, wife, but they're not next to each other. So it says, in this situation, you also follow the physical status. So Chana Jenner would be buried amongst the women and not amongst the men, even though halachically, in her lifetime, we would have considered her a man. Again, these are just some of the psakim from Rabbi Dan. Very fascinating psakim. And again, is this the final answer? Halach l'maisa? Not necessarily so, but they're all fascinating shilas, and they show you the complexity of a medical ethics issue that sounds like on the surface. Also, let's go on to the next subject. Yeah.
The issue is tefillin. You said it was a girl.
Okay, so tefillin. Yeah. So if he's physically initially a man, so he has a chiyuv to put on tefillin every day. But he shouldn't put on tefillin if he looks and dresses like a woman, whether he's had the surgery or not, in the woman's section.
So
he has to go home and put on tefillin at home to be yotzei mitzvah tefillin, assuming he's interested. So if a woman went to a man, so mistama, if she's in shul, it's going to look funny that she's not wearing tefillin.
So I
wouldn't recommend putting on tefillin. Wouldn't recommend putting on tefillin, but there's not necessarily an isser. It's inappropriate and strongly recommended in Shulchan Aruch that women should not wear tefillin. But is there an actual isser? So the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel suggests that there is an actual isser. So he says it's lo subash gever. He says tefillin are a man's clothing. If a woman wears tefillin, she's over the isser of lo silbash. So that's an interesting Targum Yonasan ben Uziel who says that. Everybody forgets about that in the whole discussion. But it doesn't seem to be that's the psak halacha, because we do find the famous case of Michal in the Gemara in Erevin, where she did wear tefillin, and there's a very fascinating Ben Yoyada who says that she had a male neshama. So again, the same Ben Yoyada who wrote the old Yosef Chai, so he says that the reason why she wanted to put on tefillin was she had a male neshama. I leave that totally for another discussion.
That's a riot.
I'm sorry?
That's a riot.
Yeah. So leave that totally aside. There are explanations. I wrote a whole Sefer, Women in the Talmud. You're welcome to look at my whole discussion on that in my Sefer, Women in the Talmud, published by Art Scroll. I have a whole whole chapter on that Gemara in Erevin Daf Tzadik Ches, if I remember correctly. So, Ayin Shah. But it's a fascinating subject. In general, we don't have women wearing tefillin. We should strongly, Shulchan Aruch says you should absolutely protest if they wear tefillin, which again is another thing that unfortunately has become vogue for some quote Rabbanim, to allow or recommend even that women should wear tefillin, that's not our Masorah, and that's not the way Shulchan Aruch Paskins, and it's not the way Gedolei Yisrael ever recommend. So yeah, but that's an interesting question. So he Paskins over here that the man should not put on tefillin in shul if he's dressed like a woman, even though he has a chiyuv to put on tefillin, go put on tefillin at home. It's interesting. Bottom line is, fascinating shailas on this subject, and I'll take questions.
Shouldn't Kalisha go based on what it sounds like?
So it probably goes more on whether it's going to create taiva or not. Again, the kol isha it's the status of an erva. So technically, it's not an erva. You know, if I have a high pitched voice, if I have a soprano voice, there's still no kol isha. If you listen to the records or you know the radio, you can't tell sometimes if it's a man or a woman. So there's only an issur for kol isha of a man. You know, if Michael Jackson sings, so lav davka. I'm dating myself a little bit, maybe, I don't know. So if you have somebody that sings and sounds like a woman, but he's a man, there's no issur kol isha. Again, if it's going to give you hirhurim, then it's a problem. A problem for numerous other reasons, but that's not, you know, you have the Pirkei choir, so the 8-year-old kid, it sounds like kol isha, and it's not kol isha. There's no problem in listening to that. Hopefully you're not getting hirhurim, so it's absolutely hetter gomer, mutu lechatrila, assuming you're, you know, in a time and a place that you're allowed to listen to music. So that basically answers the question according to the way Rabbi Dan paskins.
One more thing.
Sure.
If, let's say, a person's gay or a woman is like a woman, does she have any issur to, like, do things about other men? Does he have any issur, like, with other men, and does she have any issur with other women?
In terms of what?
Like, if she is male in her head,
right?
Can she look at other women? And so, does she have any herself?
So, again, by a woman, the physical characteristics and nature of her body is hirhurim is less of a problem. By a man, hirhurim are going to lead to koshi. They're going to lead to potential shechva zera levatola. By a woman, that doesn't exist. So there's a difference in the nature of hirhurim by a man versus a woman. Hirhurim aren't good in general. It's not good to focus on things that are awesome. So the consequences of focusing on that by a man are far more serious than by a woman. So is a woman going to be over in Isser if she has hirhurim about another man or another woman, regardless of what her sexual orientation, quote, is? So you shouldn't have yihurim, but by a woman it's much less nafgamina than by a man who's having yihurim, whether the yihurim are for a man or for a woman. By a man, yihurim lead to koshi, they can lead to shechva zera levatola. By a woman, there is no such issur.
Okay, so like... So
the fundamental difference in the nature of yihurim between a man and a woman. Forget hashkofa. Hashkofa, neither is good. Lamaisa, one leads to trouble, one does not.
So the man who thinks himself a woman, is he allowed to change in a woman's locker room?
So that was. So it's totally inappropriate for numerous other reasons, but he may not have hirhurim, but he's still not allowed to look at an erva. It's still an erva for him.
So
because an erva doesn't excite you, doesn't mean that it's not an erva.
So
could daven in front of such a woman. He gets no pleasure whatsoever looking at this woman in parts of her body that you're not allowed to look at when you daven. He's still not allowed to daven in front of such a woman.
Okay.
So the isurim apply to him. He's a man. It doesn't say ugly women, the issa doesn't apply. Pretty women, the issa does apply. It doesn't depend on your reaction to it. There's an absolute issa of erva for a man to daven, to say tefillos, say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, to learn Torah in the presence of an erva. So that doesn't change if the erva doesn't excite you. So, I mean, that's an important idea over here. Okay. So, there's no way that I'm going to try to accomplish both plastic surgery and smoking in 3 minutes. So we'll stop over here, and I have one more share with you that's on end of life issues. If I have time, I will be happy to try to fit some aspect of those discussions into it as well. I hope this was interesting, and have a good night, everybody.
Good night.